Father God, I do pray for this congregation that they will indeed return to this text today, tomorrow, Christmas. They'll read it and be transformed and changed. Lord, I pray that you will bless the preaching of your word. And woe to me, Lord, because I am a man of unclean lips. I am not fit to preach your word to this congregation. And so I would pray that I will decrease, the Lord Jesus Christ will increase. I pray for this congregation that God the Holy Spirit will prepare their hearts and minds and souls to receive the word given. I pray for myself that I also will be transformed by your word. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Salutations! It is so good to see so much of Babylon's aristocracy gathered here. You are the best that Babylon and the eastern lands have to offer. I am the Magus Balthazar, and for almost 50 years I have studied philosophy and wisdom and diplomacy and demonology and astrology. Astrology is my strong point. Astrology is what I love. I love watching the dance of the stars as they move through the night, constantly, never changing. It is a beautiful thing to watch. I've spent many a cold night just watching the stars as they dance across the sky. One night, I was observing Jupiter rise in the east and go across the sky. Jupiter is a wandering star, a planet. Unlike the rest of the stars, it changes its course every so often. We don't know why. As I watched Jupiter, the king planet, go across the sky, all of a sudden it stopped, and it turned around, and it converged with Regulus, the king star. I had never seen such a thing before. I had never seen such a bright star in the sky as it shone down upon us. No one else had either, living or dead. I was amazed and I watched this. And then Jupiter continued its path. The next night, a few nights later, I was watching the sky. And Jupiter did it again. It went past Regulus, stopped, turned around, and converged. What was going on? And then it happened a third time. Three times Jupiter went, turned around, converged with Regulus. Three times. No one had ever seen it happen once before, and I saw it happen three times. I spoke with the other magi. They hadn't heard of anything. They had never seen anyone record such a bright and beautiful convergence. And so we began poring through wisdom and prophecy literature. And we began looking, finding out what this could possibly have meant. And as we looked through all of those scrolls of prophecies, we came across a constant prophecy that our old sages had told us in Babylon. That one day a Messiah, a king, would be born. And he would be the king of the Jews. And he would rule over the whole world. Caspar, one of the other magi, was convinced the sign we had seen was his coronation. It was the announcement of the conception of the birth of this Messiah, the crowning dance in the sky. We stood outside one night. We were excited to find what would happen. 9 months later, 9 months, as we stood watching, all of a sudden, Melchior, one of the magi, cried out. He said, "Look! Jupiter is converging with Venus!" And it did. Venus is also a wandering star, the mother of all stars. And we watch as Jupiter, the king star, and Venus, the queen star, converge into the brightest celestial sight we had ever seen. And Melchior cried out, "The king is born!" We were so excited. We couldn't contain ourselves. It was late at night. But we went and got our rulers up immediately, begged them to travel to Israel so that we could go and honor this king who was born, king of the Jews, the one who would be the ruler of the whole world. It took us almost a year to gather a team. It took us almost a year to gain all the permissions from our rulers and to get everyone we needed to go on this expedition to Israel. But after a year, myself, Caspar, Melchior, and 9 other magi, as well as 40 other men, soldiers, began going to Israel. We gathered all of our supplies. We had donkeys and we had camels to carry us there. We also brought enough supplies to get us there and back. We filled it with all of our treasures and all of our supplies, and our soldiers guarded it for us during this long journey. And so we went. It was hundreds upon hundreds of miles. But as we traveled and as we grew weary, that star would always push us westward, further. It would rise in the east and brighten our way, pushing us forward, pushing us onward. When we wanted to stop, when we were tired, when we began to question ourselves, when we questioned the prophecy, it pushed us forward, westward leading, always westward, always west. This star seemed to be leading us to Jerusalem. And of course, the one born king of the Jews would be born in Jerusalem, the capital of the Jews, the capital of Israel. It made perfect sense. This child, when he was born, was wealthy the moment he came into this world. He most certainly was born to aristocracy, some of the rulers of the Jews. He most certainly was celebrated at the birth of it was a beautiful thing. We knew that this child was the hope of all the world. We were so excited. As we approached Jerusalem, we had brought gifts to honor this king. How else do you honor the Messiah of the whole world? When we finally reached Jerusalem, it was early in the morning, and we entered into the gates. We were so excited. Our anticipation was so high. We began asking the people in Jerusalem questions. I went to one man and said, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" And the man looked at me and said, "Herod is the king of the Jews." And he stomped off. So we went and we found a Roman centurion. He was guarding the temple in Jerusalem. And we asked him. The centurion said, "Only Caesar is king." We began asking other people. Caspar found a woman who looked like a member of the aristocracy, and he asked her, "We saw his star rise in the east. It led us here, and we have come to give him honor. Where is he?" And the woman got very scared and quiet, and she said, "Herod is the king of the Jews. The Jews will never have another king." How odd! How infuriating! We spent all day talking to men and women, Jew and Greek, rich and poor, and nobody knew what we were talking about. How could they not? The very heavens declared what had happened. As evening approached, some soldiers approached us. I think they were Jews. And as they came, our soldiers prepared to defend us. But Melchior put them at ease. And one of the soldiers came up to us and said, "King Herod wants to speak with you about this Magi, about this Messiah you Magi are looking for." but just the Magi, not your guards. And then Caspar, momentarily forgetting about all of his training in diplomacy, said, well, that's never going to happen. I stopped him, and I said to the guards, I said, guards, soldiers, are we in trouble with the wise King Herod? Is he angry at us for anything? And the guards said, no. He has information about this Messiah you've been asking about. And he wants to speak with you. And then Caspar came in again, and he said, well, then why can't we have our guards? And before I could say anything, one of our men, one of the soldiers, I don't know who it was, said, that's because King Herod knows that us Easterners are strong, and he's afraid that we're going to invade his lands. And all the soldiers began to laugh. Be still! And I said to the soldiers, us 12 Magi will go and speak with the king. Just us. And so they led us to the palace of Herod. It was beautiful. White stone. At once a palace and also a fortress. Beauty solidified with strength. It was night when we went into the palace. And the guards escorted us into the throne room. And there sat the old, aged King Herod on his throne. He sat there for the longest time looking at us. And then finally he rose and stepped down toward us and said, where is he? When did this star appear that you've been asking about? And I said, 27 months ago, we witnessed a convergence in the sky that declared his conception. And then Melchior said, 18 months ago, we saw the sign in the sky, we saw his star appear that has led us here, that announced his birth. And Herod paced around the throne room looking at us. Ah, my friends, thank you so much for bringing this information to us. We didn't witness the celestial sight that you told us about. He turned. He became a different person, just like that. We Jews have information in our prophecies that you Easterners are not aware of. We have consulted our text and we have found that this Messiah, this king, is to be born in a small little town named Bethlehem. It's 5 miles south of here. The hair on the back of my neck stood up on end. And then the king said, go, make a careful search for this child. And when you find him, come back and report to me so that I too may honor him. We Magi bowed and agreed and left the king and left the palace. It was extremely dark when we left, but we gathered our men, saddled up onto our camels and donkeys, and we began going down south towards this little town, Bethlehem. As we traveled in the darkness of night, Melchior again cried out, look, the star converges again! And it did. It was so bright, it was the brightest star any of us had ever seen. It lit up the night sky and led us right into Bethlehem. And as we approached Bethlehem, the star stopped. Stars don't stop. But it stopped! And it illuminated the night sky, but it lit up this one tiny little hovel of a house. No other houses were lit up. The star illuminated this one house, and we became very excited. We left our men with the supplies outside, and us Magi approached the home, and I found myself speaking out loud. How do we honor the Messiah of the whole world? How should we honor the King of the whole world? And then Casper said, "We knock." So we did. As we waited, I smelt outside. This town of Bethlehem smelled. Oh, it was awful. And we waited for the longest time for this door to open up. And finally, when it did, there was a man, a peasant man. He had flecks of something in his beard. He looked at us. He said, "Yes." And I explained to him, "Sir, we 12 magi have traveled far for months. We saw the star of the Messiah appear, and it has led us here to this house. Is the one who was born King of the Jews here? We have come to honor him." And the man looked through the door at all of us. He hesitated, but he opened the door and he said, "Yes, he is here." The other magi went in before me. Oh, it smelt worse in there than it did out here. As they walked in, I took a step back and I looked up at the star. It stood still, and it only illuminated this house. So I went in. It was a tiny hovel of a house. It could barely fit us all. We were crammed in there. And I began pushing my way and moving through the other magi toward the front. And as I did, I came through them. And I saw a woman, a Jewish girl. She looked exhausted and maybe a little scared and embarrassed. And standing between her legs, she was cradling this toddler, this child, this little boy. And he looked wide awake. And he stood there looking at us. And so I approached him. And I said, Is this the one who was born King of the Jews?" And as soon as I said that, the toddler laughed and he pushed away from his mother and he began bobbling towards me. And then he bopped me right in the nose. His father came and grabbed him up and said, "Yes. His name is Jesus. It means, Yahweh saves. Because he will deliver his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins." The child pushed away from his father and bobbled back over to his mom. And his mother picked him up in her arms, and the child snuggled against her, but he still looked at us. How do you honor the Savior of the whole world? No. How do you worship the Savior of the whole world? We had brought gifts to give this child, but as I sat there looking at him, looking at the King of the world, the King of the Jews, the one who would save his people from their sins, I yelled to the other magi as best as I could. I said, "Bring the whole box. Bring the whole box of treasure." And they brought it to the front, and we opened it up, and we gave them presents of gold, and we gave them presents of frankincense, and we gave them the perfume myrrh. And I said, give it all. Give them everything. Give it all to them. We even gave them the gold for our trip back. We had no more supplies to get home. We gave them everything, and it still wasn't enough. We gave them everything, and it still wasn't enough. It could never be enough. The very stars bowed to this child, this Christ, this King, this Messiah, this Jesus. We could never give him enough. All of us sat and just watched this child until eventually he fell asleep in his mother's arms. Our soldiers stayed outside of town in their tents. The peasant family insisted that us magi stay in that tiny little hovel. Some of the men slept upstairs in their guest quarters. I slept outside in their courtyard under the stars. As I was pondering, all of a sudden a deep sleep came over me. And I began to dream. And in my dream, I heard a voice from heaven. And I saw the gifts that we had just given the child. And the voice said, gold, because he is the King of Kings. Frankincense for his divinity. Myrrh for the ultimate sacrifice he will pay. And then the dream shifted, and I saw Jerusalem. I saw the palace. I saw the aged King Herod. His hands were shaking, and before him stood holy men and scribes and priests. And it was just before we had spoken with him. And I heard the old, old king ask these, where is the Messiah said to be born? The one these magi are asking about. And the holy men and the scribes and the priests quoted their holy books and scriptures. And they told him, in Bethlehem, in Judea. And then I saw blood begin to trickle down Herod's arms. And he said to them, get out! Get out! I am the King of the Jews, not Caesar, not my sons, and certainly not some flea-ridden little fetus born in the backwaters of Israel. I am the King of the Jews! And blood trickled down his hands and fell on the floor and filled the palace. And as he faded away, I heard his voice say, bring the Magi to me. And then the voice spoke to me and said, go, go now, leave this place at once. And as I felt the dream slipping away and wakefulness returning, I shouted to the voice, what about the child? Who will protect him? And I woke up and I felt this voice say, I will protect my son until it is his time. It was still dark outside, but I woke the others up. And we left immediately. We went south the long way around the Dead Sea. And even though we had no supplies, Providence has brought us back here, back home, back to Babylon, which is why I now speak with you. This child has changed everything.
Everything I thought I once knew, I now question. My wisdom doesn't matter. My education doesn't matter. My title is Magus. Doesn't matter. All that matters is Jesus. All that matters is Jesus, the Messiah. Find him. Search for him. Worship him. How should you worship Jesus, the Savior of the whole world, when you find him? How should you worship Jesus, the Messiah? Give him everything. Give him everything. Give him your wealth. Give him your relationships. Give him your talents. Give him your gifts. Give him everything you are. Give him your life. Give Jesus your heart.